Welcome to Glow Time with Dr. J. I am Dr. J. We are so excited to have our author to author segment with also Dr. Velma Bagby. Hey, yay! You can give yourself a hand clap because I have heard so many great things.
Absolutely.
We can say finally, we have connected. I believe we was probably connected in the spirit, but this is our time to connect with one another. I'm so excited.
Me too.
To have you. Absolutely. I have to add my lighting. I just realized that I'm so grateful to have you, Dr. Velma Bagby. We're so, it's amazing how we have so many different resources to connect us. And when the divine time, and this is definitely about divine appointments, right?
Yes.
So tell me, I'm excited to have you. And I'm going to let you open up and tell me, what is your project that you're working on now? What is the book that you absolutely know that was the purpose that opened the floodgates for not just your ministry, but your purpose? And I'm a purpose princess, and I'm purpose driven. And so tell me, what was the moment that you said, I realized that this project has opened up many doors for me?
Well, actually, it happened in 2020, January. However, my journey began back in 2012 when I retired as a deputy administrator with the state of California. It was about the time me and my adult daughters had begun to have conversations around men. And it's not that we hadn't had the conversations before, but we had them. And as a result of those conversations, they were the ones who inspired me to write my very first book, which is called Your Adam is Asleep Until God Opens His Eyes. And so that set on this path of not only writing more books in the relationship genre, but also just becoming an author at the age that I was, because I was just turning 64 when I published in 2018. Amazing. Yes, and so written all my life, written for work, I was writing in my work life, but I found that I had established the language of my job. State agencies, there's a certain language, there's legal language, there's a language that isn't legal, so you become comfortable speaking on their behalf. So it took me some time from 2012 to 2018 to find my voice. I agreed with my daughters to write the book, but it took me some time to find my voice. And so really, my story is a testimony that whatever God has in store for your life, age is not the issue. It's just your willingness to just step into what he's telling you to do at the time he tells you to do it. So Your Adam is Asleep Until God Opens His Eyes is really my first book. And then what grew out of my recent book, A Place Called Down, Why Christians Suffer, that was as a result of my having such a great 2018, releasing my first book, and then I was hit with illness from December, the night of Christmas, December 2018, and spent most of 2019 with health attacks. I would recover from one health attack and another one would happen. And by the second time, I said, okay, God, what is going on here? I'm doing everything I'm supposed to. And that's where God told me I was to write about this place called down, why Christians suffer. And why do we go through those places of suffering? Even though 1 Peter 4 tells us not to think it's strange, we still do. And so he told me to write this book. So this last book that I published in August had nothing to do with relationships, although relationships suffer, marriages suffer sometimes, so those can be down places. But my heart has always been and continues to be to work with single women in terms of who God has called them to be and to prepare them for who God has for them, because we're just not prepared like we should. I found that a lot of singles ministries are keeping people single. And instead of really giving them the tools that they need to really be ready for the man that God has for them.
Absolutely. That is so powerful. I do agree because that is a very special ministry. Mm-hmm. I was not appreciative of the in-depth of how people hurt being single. Yeah.
That's right.
Whether it's a broken relationship, whether it's a divorce, whether it's a widow, however you find yourself, it's different than when you've always been single and you never was in a relationship.
Yes.
Totally different.
Yes.
And the loss that you encounter is as if a death had occurred and you lose yourself. And so I was married and, you know, went through divorces. And what happened is we lose ourselves and
Absolutely.
Our own identity.
Yes.
And so I think that's very important with relationship. And your first book was Adam. That is the first man that was created in the image of God. But also the female and the male was created in Adam.
Yep.
So we realize that if you're meant to be single, and Paul talks about that, right?
Yes.
He says to us that when there's a time that we have and when it's time to be single, that's okay. Paul says if that's, you know, honestly, when he was in trials and tribulations, he actually recommended singlehood.
He sure
because
did.
There's a lot to go in when you're in a relationship. There's a compromise. There is a level of devotion that he stated when you're with God, when you're single, you are single-minded.
Yes.
But when you're in a relationship, you can be torn between two relationships. So that is very powerful.
Yes.
And it also begins not, you know, I always believe that in order for us to grow, we definitely have to go back to the roots of the
That was the whole idea. Yes. And I was really surprised that God, in my conversations, I knew that I'm dealing with two very intelligent young women. Both were registered nurses. And I'm saying, okay, God, if we're going to really have this kind of in-depth conversation, I need you to give me something of substance. And he took me back to the basics of Adam and Eve. And in the book, I talk about a man at dust level. A man at dust level is that stage where God was creating and preparing Adam. And that's the wrong time for Eve to arrive. Eve did not arrive until a little bit later. And so sometimes inserting yourself into a man's life when it's the wrong timing, because he's still at dust level, God is still working on him. And so we talked about all of those elements, and I was really surprised too of the things that I learned, because keep in mind, just like what you said, Adam was created from the dust of the ground, but God, Eve did not exist until God took the rib from Adam to create her.
Yeah.
So the sacrifice was made at that point. And we talk about different kinds of blood sacrifices in the relationship. And so when I talked to my daughters, I wanted to be transparent in the, we all agreed to be transparent in the book about what we said, how we responded. And even in my own marriage, thankfully, we'll be celebrating 47 years together in another week.
Awesome.
And so in that, I talk about preparation in terms of understanding what you will have to face, because marriages, because God has designed them to be, how can two walk together unless they agree, it says. And so how do you get two different individuals to walk together and agree? And on top of that, the enemy hates agreement. So already the minute you walk down the aisle, the enemy is after your marriage and your relationship. And so we have to understand who we're really fighting in the relationship. We're not fighting each other, but we're fighting a faceless enemy. And so all of those conversations before you walk down the aisle, understanding what you're going to have to go through, because in my relationship, we hit 15 years and we hit a rough patch. I thought it was going to be over, but God said didn't have it to happen, but it required changes that needed to be made in my husband and in me. And so understanding there will be times when you have to slow down a bit and reset, go back to what you know that you know that you know, go back to that foundation. And then something else you said that I talk about in the book, and that is understanding the tiers of love, the tiers, the layers of love. God first always. And so when you go into a relationship and a marriage, that individual has to understand that they're second to God. and be comfortable with that, yes. because he's first in my life. He should be first in his life as well. And
absolutely.
So, and then you must love yourself, is what the scripture yes. tells us, which talks about our self-worth and understanding our value. And so all of that we have in the book. And I just think that those are conversations that need to take place way before anyone arrives. Or if he has.
Yeah.
I've had yes. conversations with married couples as well in pastoral counseling. You know, all of that came to my attention when it was time to write this book. All of those conversations awesome. And what I felt were the gaps that we needed to talk more about.
Definitely. And that's where we have to always understand that in the process, the Lord, when we allow the Lord to put the man to sleep, you know, one of my pastors, I just love him. His name is Pastor Joe Alpo. Uh-huh. I still remember, mm-hmm. He's from Dover, Delaware, and he's a pastor now of Mount Zion. Mm-hmm. I think it's Missionary Baptist Church.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me.
He said, sometimes you have to love less. And you have to allow the sleeping dog to lay enough for the fleas. And that was so profound to me.
Yes.
You know, he said, you know, he might be a person, you know, you have to allow the man for God to change him. And that means sometimes you have to allow God to shake off the fleas.
Absolutely.
And sometimes we try to do that, right? As women, yeah. we're fixers, we're nurturers.
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
I call and it in the book. I refer to that role as the spouse fixer upper. It's kind of like in the book I talk about the women who love animal rescue. A beautiful calling for those who go out rescue animals who are hurt or injured. But that's not the case for a man. Because if you have that same ability, that you
exactly.
make excuses for why they act the way they act.
Yes.
Just
yes.
like the animal rescue.
And we are enablers.
Absolutely.
We sometimes enable the bad.
Yep.
And I was guilty. I can say that my relationships in the past, I was guilty. Because mm-hmm. I felt that the more I supported and the mm-hmm. more that you nurture, and also loyalty, you know,
yes.
that's one thing I do love about Adam and Eve, even in their consequences, right?
Yes.
God
yes.
kicked them both out,
absolutely.
But they stayed together.
Together.
And I feel like loyalty is very important in relationships,
mm-hmm.
as well as our loyalty to God, because Joshua says what? As
yes.
for me and my household,
that's it.
We will
that's
serve
it.
The Lord. So this loyalty in marriage and the sanctity and also the sacredness of relationships,
yes.
because
yes.
when you think about it, they didn't have, even when the situation with Adam and Eve, and then their son killed, right? Cain killed Abel,
mm-hmm.
they still procreated additional
yeah.
children.
Yes.
So that even showed that through ups and downs, they stuck together.
Yes.
You know, and I think that that's very important in relationships as well as, and when you're talking about your second book, that you, your project that you were saying, I calm down. What was it? I am
a
down.
Place.
What's your book?
A place called
down. A place called down.
Called down.
So
why Christians suffer. It's
I
a place
that.
Of suffering.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And that's something that we have to really understand, because depression comes from oppression and depression. But
yes.
the one thing that we know as a believer, Satan
yes.
cannot possess us.
Yes.
And when we understand that depression, David went through depression.
Yes, he
Saul
did.
Went, even Moses went through depression.
Yes,
the
absolutely.
Great leader, even John the Baptist went through depression, because when he wrote Jesus and said, are you the one, like I mm-hmm. sacrificed my life for you.
Yes.
Is it
yes.
truly Are you truly the one? So well, I'm a doctor of Christian counseling, so I counsel and a pastor. So I counsel depression and even only because I went through it personally.
Yes.
And I was a pastor and I just couldn't believe, I thought that being saved and full of the Holy Ghost and full of faith and, you know, walking on water, basically, we are exempt. It's almost like if I do this, and it also has to deal with the teaching. It really has to do with teaching and proper line by line, precept upon precept.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
To really understand that our words are very powerful. Because when someone is dealing with depression or oppression and you say, well, just get some more faith and just pray more.
Oh,
and, you know, we have people that fast and pray all the time and they're like, what is wrong? And we have to realize, and this is a big aha moment in my faith, is that you can do all the things right. Look at Joseph. He did everything right, but it didn't turn out the way that he thought it should.
No, it did not.
But God's justice is still infinite. And
well,
his wisdom is for everlasting,
generations
to generations. Amen.
Absolutely. Amen. That, now you just said everything about this book. I say in the book that as believers, we think that our walk is always mountaintop experiences, and they are not. There are moments when we're allowed to go through the fire, and God will only burn off what he cannot use. And that's the whole idea. Those very words that you just said. When the first illness hit me, I'm going, okay, God, well, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to. I'm doing everything right. You know, what is going on? And then the second time, okay, now wait a minute, God. Second time I did a Jacob wrestling with the angel. I said, okay, God, the second time I'm going to hold on to you until you bless me. I may not understand what you're doing in my life, but I'm holding on to you until you help me to understand what's going on. And then here comes the third time I'm going, I'm still holding on to you. Because when we're through it, it's like we're going through the motions as if nobody else really understands what we're experiencing in that moment. It's like isolating.
Exactly.
It's difficult. It's challenging. It's mental, like you said. It's depression. All of those things when we're going through it. But the key is understanding that when God allows you to go through those paces, there's something he is burning off. And one of the things that I found about my experience, God will not allow not one jot and not one tittle of pride to be in anything that we do. And so I am the one who is called upon in my family to come. Can you take me to this appointment? Can you come help me this? Can you tell me how to do? And I'm Miss Gifted and Helps. I'm helping wherever I can and I love it and I enjoy it. But Miss Helps was in need of help when I was going through.
Yes. Amen.
And God reminded me, nothing about what you do belongs to you. Take no credit for anything
that
you
do. What we do for Christ is all that lasts.
All glory. Yes. Not one jot, not one tittle should we take credit for. All glory belongs to Christ. And if he finds any of that, it's something he has to burn off. Because what happened at the end of that was the book, he told me to stop writing about the relationship focus books. I have several on my list. And he told me to pause and write this book. He said, you need to tell that story. You need to tell the story of difficulty so Christians will understand. Difficulties will come. And you realize this is early January 2020. So I said, okay, God, Proverbs 3 and 6 is going to be my goal for this year.
Amen.
I will seek you because in all thy ways acknowledge him.
Trust
and he will direct thy path means to invite him in. To whatever
it
is that we're trying. So I invited him in to this process. And what happened as a result, I didn't know the title of the book yet. I thought it was going to be my year in review kind of a thing. But as I completed it, he had me establish writing goals in the beginning of the year. So I set out seven days of the week to write, left my weekends to my family and of course worship. But during the week, it was Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I had so many words each day to write. I was really pretty much done in February with the book. But then the Lord told me to keep writing. So by the time things began to unfold about the pandemic, So a place called Nineveh also affected the world. The world went down with a pandemic that affected all of us. And then in March, the knee on the neck, how a group of people can experience a down place of suffering with George Floyd. Now, all of that at the time that I was completing. So I added on the end of the book, those two things, because God opened eyes to the fact that groups can suffer together and groups of people and the world can suffer together.
Yes.
And so all of that was included in that experience. And that's when
so
I finished
amazing.
The book.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you so much, Dr. Velma. How would they be able to reach you? Your website, please state your website, your email, and your contact information so that they can purchase the book for us.
Absolutely. My contact information, of course, is email is info@drvelma.com. And then my website is drvelma.com as well. So they can go directly there. Now you'll go onto the website and you'll notice there's a lot of relationship related things that are posted because my Christian dating and relationship coaching is pretty much my focus, but I do have my books in the shop. If you want to just skip all of that and go directly to the shop area, you can, but I also produced my granddaughter's book just recently. She's got two books and a third one coming out this month. So that's coming as well.
Congratulations.
And then along with the, thank you. Along with the Place Called Down, there are two journals that you can only get on my website. Now, A Place Called Down is available on Amazon as well. You can get it on my website, but the journals are only available on my website. And they are,
awesome.
I talk about in the book how it doesn't matter where you are in your place of suffering. Mm-hmm. If you really take the time to pay attention, God sends rainbows in the middle of it. If we stop complaining and take our eyes off what we're going through and just trust Him, you'll recognize those little things that He'll send. And I call those rainbow moments where He just lets you know you're not in it by yourself. You're going to get through with Him walking with you. And so I have that journal. And then the other journal is called a memory journal where you can just capture that experience so that if you have to face another period of time or another season like that, you can go back and see that as well. So that's the rainbow journal, the rainbow moments journal, and then the memory
journal. Awesome. Uh-huh. Well, thank you for being our special guest this afternoon, evening, and I'm sure this is our first, and I pray that it won't be our last.
I know. I just was so excited. We connected.
Yes, and I'm so excited, and, you know, we do have Glow Time with Dr. J. I'm Dr. April Johnson, and my book is My Joyous Power, draapriljohnson.com, and also this is aired in Nepal, India, and we're really excited that Glow Time with Dr. J is expanding, and I am also finishing up two books as well, and that is Your Harvest Time, Double Is Your Portion.
Yes.
And thank you, and surprise, surprise, I am finishing this month my children's book.
Yay!
So I'm really excited. Yay!
Oh, that's awesome.
So this is the first announcement officially on Glow Time with Dr. J. So we're just excited about what God is doing. I just wanted, this is a spotlight of the authors to encourage you as God has encouraged me. And
appreciate
I just
it.
Thank you so much. And until next time we see each other, may the blessings of the Lord maketh thee rich and addeth no sorrow.
No sorrow.
Thank you, Dr. Velma.
Thank
have
you
a blessed,
for having
blessed
me.
Evening.
You too.
Thank you.
Take
love
care.
You and the Lord.
Love you
Amen.
Too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.